Once again, I'm thanking God for this opportunity that I can stand in front of our congregation and share the word of God. It is a great privilege that carrying the word of God, carrying the Bible even, the world is changing. Talking about Lord Jesus Christ is not a great thing. The doors are getting shut by authorities. Like what Paul said this morning. Yep, the curtain is coming down. We are somewhere in the end times, isn't it? So for a short meditation, I like to talk about our fellowship with God. When you are looking into this calendar, July, this month, the 4th, there was a shooting, and 5th, there was a shooting, 7th, several police officers were killed, 14th, there was a terrorist attack in France, yesterday there was a coup attempt in Turkey. The last few days we are talking about. Things are getting closer and closer. I do not have any political agenda by showing all these things. But I am sad with each families who lost their son or daughters. And I am sad when seeing that our police officers are being killed. And I'm sad when innocent people were crushed in the roads in France. Also when democracy was stopped, or somebody was trying to stop the democratic system of Turkey. Because in 1976-77, we have seen emergency in India. As a student, I was involved in a revolution against that government who implemented emergency. So I know what is meant by imposing restrictions in a country by a military or a political party. In Sanskrit is one of the old languages. There's a lot of significance. If anybody wants to know much about Sanskrit, please get into Wikipedia. There are two slogans out there. The first one is, it is from a Upanishad or a Hindu book. It says, Vasudeva Kudumba, means the whole world is one family. Earth is together one family. Then the second one is, Loga Samastha Sugino Bhavandu. Again, it is Sanskrit. I can say anything you guys won't understand. It says, whole world need to be happy. It should be troublesome free. That is what called Loga Samastha Sugino Bhavandu. That was the Indian traditional mantra. They used to say these things in the morning. They used to pray all these things. When we are seeing all these calendars or these events, I was recitating those things, those slogans which I studied at my school. When somebody is getting hurt in one place, I am feeling that yes, I am being attacked, I am being violated. I don't want to say July is a bad month. We celebrated Susan and his birthday. And other birthdays here. Sarish finished 10 years of wedding, Sarish and Sindhu wedding anniversary. And we even celebrated our 28 years of wedding anniversary. And our children used to say, that's why July 4th, our wedding anniversary is on July 2nd. That's why they are saying July 4th, we are having fireworks. So July is not a bad month. But people are changing. the question of a common man, of an individual. They're looking for comfort. We need comfort. We need direction. We are questioning about the purpose of each event and even the purpose of my life or our own life. What Bible suggests? We are trying to make sense out of everything. Why we are feeling lost and confused? Searching for the purpose of these incidents. Why our generation is going through all this? But we are fully knowledgeable about the theology from the Word of God. That's what we are showing by ourselves. We are saying we know the five Greek words of the word love. We know how to understand the dreams of Daniel. We are talking about big things, but we don't know how to use it practically. That's a story about a deacon. I want to make it politically correct. It was not an elder. It was a deacon, Sam. He went for an interview as a camp director position, and he was asked to give some insight on Good Samaritan's story. He started saying like this, for your reading pleasure, I put that one there too. Oh yeah, I know that story. Once there was this man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked him, and as he went on, he didn't have money, and he met Queen of Sheba, and she gave him 1,000 talents of gold and 100 change of raiment, and he got into a chariot and drove furiously. And when he was driving under a big juniper tree, his hair caught on a limb of the tree, and he hung there many days. And the ravens brought him food to eat and water to drink, and he ate 5,000 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. One night, when he was hanging there asleep, his wife Delilah came along and cut off his hair, and he dropped and fell on a stony ground. But he got up and went on, and it began to rain, and it rained 40 days and 40 nights, and he hid himself in a cave, and he lived on locust and wild honey. Then he went on till he met a servant who said, "Come, take supper at my house." And he made an excuse and said, "No, I won't. I have married a wife and I cannot go." And the servant went out in the highways and in the hedges and compelled him to come in. After supper, he went on and came on down to Jericho. And when he got there, he looked up and saw old Queen Jezebel sitting down way up high in a window, and she laughed at him, and he said, "Throw her down again." And they threw her down 70 times 7, and of the fragments that remained, they picked up 12 baskets full, besides women and children, and they said, "Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, whose wife do you think she will be in the judgment day?" I'm sorry. I heard this one from Ravi Zacharias. This is what we know. We know the entire Bible. We are able to talk from the beginning to the end. We have a whole complete story. But we do not know how to apply properly in our day-to-day life. Are we confused? When we are seeing the problems and issues around, we do not know where to get the comfort. We are looking for the fellowship of God. We are looking for comfort. You know, one of the best verses in the Bible, which I love to read again and again and again, that is in Revelation chapter 21 verse 3. "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with him, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. What a blessing. A comforting word, isn't it? He wants to dwell with us. He is planning for dwelling with us. Last week when we heard from the our visiting speaker, he said, we know what's going to be the end. So this is going to be the end. We are going to live with him forever and ever. The turmoil which is happening around is for the time being. He wants to dwell with us. In Old Testament, when you are turning into Old Testament, after the sin in the garden, when sin separates God and man, you can see the God's desire to live with his creation. He said in Exodus chapter 29 verse 45, I will live with the Israelites, I will be their God. God wants to live with us. God wants to live with us. He wants to be in fellowship with us. Are we ready for that fellowship? Again, when we are coming to the New Testament, on John chapter 14 verse 23, he says, Jesus answered, all who love me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them. My Father and I will come to them and live with them. Let me read that verse one more time. All who love me will obey my teaching. The catching word is there. The catching phrase is there. All who love me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them. My Father and I will come to them and live with them. Do you have a good fellowship with our Lord? That's excellent. Apostle John in his letter explained it very well. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. That's a beautiful verse about the fellowship. If we say that we have fellowship with him, can you say that we have fellowship with him? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for giving us another opportunity to meditate from the word of God. Lord, I'm submitting myself, I'm not capable. Lord, help me to deliver your message to the congregation. Lord, help us to examine ourselves in the word of God. Let us see what is wrong with us. If there is any, Lord, help us to correct it and to re-establish our life according to the word of God. We pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So when we are studying the word of God in connection with our life, the most important thing is to have a fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1, he is clearly talking to us about that fellowship. and he started that sentence in a particular way. We have heard from him. You understand that importance? There is no further discussion is required. We heard from him, from God, the message about the fellowship, and that is hospital. This morning, when you are not finding comfort about the events which is happening around, when you are not finding the comfort in the issues that we are facing day to day, the only place that we can see the comfort, we can seek the comfort, is in his fellowship. You may have chains on your hands and legs. You may not be able to move around. But you know, like Paul did, if you are able to get that fellowship, and if you are able to sing the songs to the Lord, the chains will go away. Your heart will become free. I believe all of us experience this in our life. He is sufficient for us. He is enough. So when we are examining these words, we need to understand where we are standing. As I just read a story, it may be somebody very creative must have done that story. They must have spent a lot of time to make that story. But you look into that, that's what I know, that's what we know, if we are not practicing what we heard from the word of God, we know and dare stop. We will quote from many places, which may make sense, which may make another story. But if it is not applied in your life, there is no meaning. We are saying we are saved, purchased by the blood of God, Lord Jesus Christ. Do we have the real fellowship? 1980, polls revealed that the 1/3 of Americans claim to be born again. 33% of Americans said they are born again. And they added further questions after that survey, asking that question so specifically: are you born again? Do you go to church with some regularity? Do you pray with some regularity? Do you have some minimal structure of formal Christian belief? The percentage dropped from 33% to 8%. This is statistical information. And if you ask further question, saying that, are you regenerated? Are you displaying God's character in your life? I'm afraid it will go below 2. We born in a Christian family, we know all the songs, we know main verses. If it is not applied in our life, in our day-to-day walk, we will be exactly like the deacon who faced that in victory. There is no meaning. Again, going back to that verse that we read, the Apostle John opens his letter by asserting that one of the main aims of the Christian message is we may enter into the apostolic fellowship, which is with, that is, with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. A fellowship. That is the main aim. That's what Lord is asking us. That's what all Christianity is about. Christianity is not not the observance of a ritual. Just going to church and seeing how the priest is singing the song or doing all that. No, that's not the Christianity. Rather, it is a walk of personal fellowship with the living God. It is a walk with the living God. Not just completing the memory verses. Not just standing in a church and singing the songs. It is a walk with the living God. You know, that letter, it is very interesting, as I said before. John makes it very clear. the fellowship with God is not a matter of being friendly with a guy on the rooftop or in the sky. He asserts that God is absolutely holy. Verse 5. He's absolutely holy. So you're talking about a fellowship with the holy God. Let me stop there for a moment. A fellowship with the holy God. Holy. Can you do fellowship with the holy God? If you are unholy, will you be able to touch electricity wire with a bare hand? Touching on that? Can you? The God is holy. How you are approaching Him? To have a genuine fellowship with the Holy God, we must walk in the light. That's what the verse says. You need to walk in the light because God is holy. According to the word of God, the light has all different meanings. In reality, it is showing us the holiness. Are you walking in light? It is easy to claim to have a fellowship with Him, but to be mistaken or deceived. The false teachers were claiming to have fellowship with God, but their claims were absolutely wrong. To have fellowship with the Holy God, we must not walk in the darkness, but walk in the light. The major question about our own life is how we are walking. Are we walking in the light? I do not want to make you to think that I am talking about the mistakes and wrongdoings of each individual. If it is like that, let it be. I am happy because we will be able to correct. You know what happened with the new churches? They always start with the love of God. They can only talk about the love. If you open the TV, what you are seeing is a God who is giving you candy every time. Always candy. He's not talking about the holiness. That's why John said, he said, the God said like this, this is the message we received. In that message, we are asked to say directly what the message we received. We have to say exactly the same. This is the message we have heard from Him and announces to you that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. Please note two things in that. One, to have a fellowship with God, we must begin with God and His authoritative revelation of Himself. John is not using any softness like the modern church. No love and no compassion. He straight away, he said, this is I received. This is what we need to do. Instead of saying, God is love, God will take care of your issues, God will give you everything what you need. If you are not happy, God will make you happy. That's not the way that John introduced the fellowship with God. He straight away he said, He is light, He is holy, you need to live in light. Don't dilute the gospel. Don't dilute what the word of God says. If it pricks our heart, if we cannot approach God in the current state of life, examine yourself and see where is the wrong. Are we living exactly in the word of God? Is there any change in the word of God? Then definitely, if you are living anywhere different than the word of God, anyway, you cannot go further to God because He is holy. the way that John says this message is in an adoratory pronouncement from Jesus through the apostle to the readers. To have fellowship with God, we must start with adorative revelation in His Word. We must always start with God. Our main problem is our self-centeredness. And so we come to the Christian faith looking to have our needs met. I'm not happy. Can God make me happy? I'm looking for something that I don't have. Can God give that? Because everything I want my God to give me. Something like an ATM. You put the prayer inside, get the cash. Is that the way our life is? Not asking for God's will, God's plan in our life? Or not being holy? These verses was, you know, questioning my way of life. I was wondering, God help me to reach my office at, within 20 minutes. I prayed. Silly thing, isn't it? Definitely that's a prayer. At the same time, when I'm talking about fellowship, I need to make sure of my way of life. You can deceive people around. You can live a double standard life. You can live in sin and you can act as unholy. We have heard several stories about the preachers like that, isn't it? John says, first to have fellowship with God, we must begin with God and His authoritative revelation of Himself, not with ourselves. So the first thing is, to have a fellowship with God, we must begin with God and His authoritative revelation of Himself. Because He is holy, period. No further question, you need to live accordingly. Second, to have fellowship with God, we must begin with His holiness. If you want to have a fellowship with Him, we have to start with the holiness of God. He's loving, He's caring, that's fine. How we will approach a God without holiness? You know, the second point is, to have fellowship with God, we must not walk in the darkness. Let me call the new modern churches, church marketers. They will approach and say, God is holy. That is why that won't work. We cannot get all the crowd from campus. We cannot get the young folks. The church marketers would say, God is holy, holy won't sell. That is not popular. If you want to draw the crowds, begin with, God is love. Everyone wants to hear that. But John said He is light. He started with saying that He is light. But you may ask me, why start with God's holiness? Why not start with His love, which is more inviting? If I am talking about holiness and correction of your own life, that will take a lot of issues. Why can't we start talking about the love of God and attract the people? That's a justifiable question. If you work in Campus Crusade or in campus or some other places, the students won't listen to you if you are talking about a God who is judgmenting or judging your way of life. But you know, in black and white, that is the truth. He is holy. You cannot go like this. Answer the question. Why not start with His love? The first, if you don't begin with God's holiness, you will never understand God's plan of salvation through the cross of Christ. Cross of Christ. If the love is the only thing that God is interested in, why our Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross? Like this, he can say all nation, all people. In order to get the holiness, he sent his son to that cross. To wash us, to make us holy, he sent his son to that cross. If God is love, then cross is unnecessary and meaningless. Second, if you start with God's holiness, it exposes all false claims of fellowship with God. It is simple. If I am saying that God is holy and your fellowship requires the holiness in your life, can you tell me that I am living a holy life and boozing at the evening in your couch? You cannot claim the holiness. If you're talking about love, yep, God is gracious. He don't care about what I'm doing in the evening. He's loving God. He's merciful. No, God is holy. Once again I'm saying, if it hurts your mind in any way, I'm not sad. When I was reading these verses, it was asking several questions to me. I'm approaching a holy God. Am I doing it correctly? He's a consuming fire. He sent his son to that cross. And through that blood, I'm saved. He purchased me. That's what the song we were singing this morning. Third, study with God's holiness saves us from the danger of blaming God in times of trouble. When we are going through difficulties, we used to say, why it happened to me? Why it happened to me? But when we consider the holy God, what you can claim from God? Because you are not 100% perfect. Will you be able to say, because I am holy, I am expecting a race? And because I am holy, I am expecting a long life? No. Because of his mercy that I am standing, because of his mercy I am breathing, because of his mercy I am having all these things. Because my holiness cannot be compared with God's holiness. John begins with God. He says that to have a fellowship with God, we must recognize that he is absolutely holy. But we need to apply this personally. If as way of life, if I am not allowing God's word to confront my sinful thoughts, attitudes, motives, words and deeds, I am walking in darkness. If I am covering my sin, I am worse than anybody else. And if I am claiming that I am living in a holy life, I am worse than anybody else. I am living in darkness. And you know, you may be able to cover this in front of others, but you cannot do that in front of God. To have fellowship with God, we must walk in the light as he himself is in the light. To walk in the light is to live openly before God, seeking to be holy and hating all sin. To walk in the light is to confess our sins, experiencing God's forgiveness and cleansing. Experiencing God's forgiveness and cleansing. I mean, sometimes I'm feeling that I am preaching to the choir. We all know all these things. But you know, this is a question. This is a small message. You may haven't seen any value inside. But at the same time, this is a question. What's way of life? What's our way of life? We are talking about a holy God. How can you approach him if you're having sin in your life? How can you stay closer to a God who is a consuming fire and to say that I am holy when your life is not clean? Let me tell you a story and close this message. In the 18th century, a senior monk was disciplining two monks for some infractions of the rules. He imposed on them the rule of silence, that you cannot talk. You know, that's a very difficult thing for some of us, including me. When I'm reading Jeffrey Archer, his diary called A Personal Diary in a Jail. He's talking about, he's in a jail for more than 6 months or something, but he was alone. And he's talking about, you know, the silence that was killing him, that he was not able to breathe even. I can understand what he's talking about. He was a politician. He was talking all the time. Now he doesn't have anybody to talk. Some of us are like that, isn't it? So these monks were asked not to talk. They could not talk to one another. They tried to figure out some way to fill the long hours. Finally, one of them gathered 28 flat stones from the courtyard, putting different numbers on them. He devised a new game by using gestures. The men agreed on certain rules, but the most difficult part was keeping silent when one of them scored a victory. It's very difficult. When I have a victory in this one, if I cannot express my feelings, that is very difficult. Then they immediately realize. The Psalm 109, it says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." They immediately remember this verse. The senior monk said, "You can pray in between, but you cannot talk." So when I'm getting into the victory, or when I'm winning the game, I need to say, "Hey, that is not allowed." But they remember this verse. That verse, in Latin, I believe, Latin it is like this: "Dixit Dominus Domino Mio." I don't know what it is exactly. This. Anyway, it means what I said on the Psalm 109. By using the one word of this Latin expression, meaning "Lord," the winner was able to signal his triumph by yelling "Domino." The monks gave the impression that they were praying, but really they were playing. Just from daily bread, our daily bread. Sometimes I am playing. I am playing domino. My prayers are like that. This afternoon, let me ask each of us to examine our life and to understand where we are standing in front of God. He's a loving God. But before you're approaching Him, you need to reach to Him in holiness. Are we living in darkness after saying that He purchased us by His blood? How is our life? I haven't added anything to the gospel. I just read what the epistle says. To have a fellowship with God, we must recognize that He is absolutely holy. Let me go back to that verse one more time. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is not darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. The final question to all of us, including me: how can we avoid the deception of thinking that we are walking in the light while really we are walking in the dark? Mère, que ce soit celui de Paul.
Father God, we thank you for this hour that you've given us to meditate on your word, and we thank you for this time that you also grant us to come back in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for all your goodness to us in our lives and for the amazing truth that we are indeed the children of God. Though we are sinful people, though we are the heart of man is desperately wicked, we thank you for the amazing and abundant grace of God which has brought us into fellowship with you and your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you once again for your word which teaches us that we should not take you for granted, that we need to understand the truth of the attributes of God and the beauty that we see in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you once again for reminding us through this message that we are in fellowship with you, and Lord, we need to walk in your way, walk in the light. And we thank you once again for reminding us that truly, if the Lord Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit dwells within us, there is light within us, and we need to allow that light to be seen by others as well. We pray, God, for all of us this morning, including our visitors, Lord, that we may be blessed by the voice of your Holy Spirit that speaks within us to cleanse us, to purify us. We realize, O Lord, there is much dross, there is much that is tainted by the world around us, and we are often compelled, as we discussed earlier, to be distracted by the noise and the sound that comes from the enemy. We pray this morning that you would help us to focus our gaze on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember your word that teaches us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we pray, O God, that despite the difficulties, despite the distractions, despite the many darts of the enemy, we pray, O God, that you would continue even this week in holding fast to your word and to our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray and thank you once again for this amazing fellowship, this amazing opportunity we have. We pray, Lord, that we will not neglect so great a salvation, that we would be able to become channels of light, channels of blessing to many others around us as we allow the light to shine in and through us. We thank you for this time together. We pray for all as we part from here that you would be with us during the week, especially for those who are traveling far. We pray that your blessing go with each one, and Lord, that you would bring us back again to worship you. We ask all this, giving you thanks in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.